We can divide events and circumstances into two categories. Those we can affect or influence by our choices, either directly or indirectly, and those we cannot affect or influence at all. Stephen illustrates how working within our circle of influence is the only way we can effectively produce desired results and truly influence and lead those at home.
I'd now like to teach another idea that to me is so exciting about this idea of proactivity. Imagine, if you will, two circles. One, a larger outer circle we call the circle of concern. And the second, a smaller inner circle, we call the circle of influence. The circle of influence basically means those are things you can do something about. You can have influence upon them or control over them, such as your health, your family, your work. The circle of concern, the outer circle, represents things you can do nothing about, such as the weather, international events, the force of nature, and so forth. Where does the proactive person focus? The inner circle. And what do you think happens to this inner circle? It gets larger and larger. And you're more and more able to influence. But where does the reactive person focus? On the outer circle. That is the circle of concern. Things outside themselves of which they feel they have no control or influence at all. Let me share with you one of the most powerful, instructive, illuminating experiences along this line of habit one, be proactive, that I've ever had. I worked for an organization for 4 years and was the assistant to the president. The president was a very dynamic, visionary person. He's very talented, very intelligent, very visionary. But his style was very controlling and dictatorial. Consequently, all the people around him felt that they were treated like gophers, as if they had no judgment of their own. Go for this, go for that, do this, gopher, see? And they would just sit around basically in the executive corridors confessing the president's sin, swapping war stories. Let me tell you the latest. This is what he did today. Can you believe this? How are things going with you? Oh, really? He came into your department and gave a whole different signal and totally disrupted the whole thing. Well, let me just tell you the latest with me, etc., etc. Then the other responds, well, you think that's something. Wait till you hear this one. Then the war stories expand. Hey, why don't we get together some more at lunch and go further into this? It's fun because it becomes a kind of common cement that unites the people. At the time, it may seem to unite you, but it begins to stress the relationship in an unseen fundamental sense, and it will eventually break it because you're really doing the same thing and the inner circle begins to wither. One man, however, whose name was Ben, was very proactive. His life was not a function of the president's weaknesses. Yes, he was aware of them. They were in his circle of concern, but not his circle of influence. Therefore, he smiled a lot about them. He didn't disempower himself. He used his strengths to compensate for the president's weaknesses in his own small circle of influence with his own people. And little by little, Ben's circle of influence began to get larger and larger. He exercised so much more initiative, so much more responsibility. Yet he himself was treated like a gopher, as were the rest. Go for this, go for that. But he was the best gopher around. He not only went for the data, he tried to anticipate the need. He'd think like this. I think the president wants this information for a board meeting. I'm going to get him the data. Then I'm going to give my analysis of the data and my recommendations based on the analysis. And I'm going to give it to the president in a presentation form. One day the president said to me, Stephen, I cannot believe what Ben is doing. It's just amazing. I asked him to get this information. He anticipated my need. He analyzed the information. He developed alternative recommendations. And it's in a form that I can present it to the board. You know, Stephen, I think I'm going to have him make the presentation. Now notice what's happened to Ben's circle of influence. He was getting larger and larger. In the next executive meeting, the president was into his gopher approach, go for this, go for this. But when it came to Ben, he said, Ben, what's your opinion? What do you think the reactive minds did in the executive quarters that day? You see, reactive people are always looking for evidence. I'll bet there's some kind of favoritism going on here, maybe even nepotism. The interesting thing, however, is this. Ben dealt with them in the same way he dealt with the president. And little by little, over a 4-year period, I saw Ben become the number 2 person in the organization. His circle of influence with everybody became so large that even the president could not and would not make any significant moves without Ben's blessing. And Ben read the culture. He understood the culture. So the president's weakness in style was being compensated for by Ben's strength with his cultural awareness, so that the president's judgments about how to implement the vision, how to actualize the vision, was strengthened. It was an amazing thing. Always work on the inner circle. That is the circle of influence. It's marvelous.
I'm on this team now, and it's with people of different levels. And I'm finding that the more that I get to meet people, and I'm able to influence things that are going on at a greater measure, simply because I don't worry about things that I can't control now, but in the meetings I'm able to like speak out for the other workers, and my circle of influence is growing. I'm meeting more people.
I have found the circle of influence to be most powerful for me in my relationships with my family, because I would love to control the decisions that my brothers and sister make. Obviously, I can't do that. They have to make their own decisions. If I am not walking my talk in everything I do, I mean, pick your habit, pick your topic. If I am not faithful to it, then I have no room with them. I have no influence whatsoever.
This circle of influence idea is tremendous because you can use it to motivate yourself by it and to say, no matter what the circumstances are, I'm going to be proactive and give my energies to the inner circle, to those things I can really do something about. And if you're patient and persistent, it will get larger. You know, someone came to me one time and said, maybe you can help me. I really like these things you're teaching, but it seems that my situation is so different. I'm really worried about our marriage. My wife and I, we just don't have the same feeling for each other we once had. You know, Stephen, the love just isn't there anymore. It's just dead. And I said, well, what are your plans? What is your thinking? He said, I don't know. That's the concern, because we have these three kids and we're very concerned. What do you think we should do? I said, love her. He responded, well, as I indicated, the feeling isn't there. The love just isn't there anymore. Now what suggestions you have? Love her. How do you love when you don't love? I responded, love is a verb. Love the feeling is the fruit of love the verb. Study all the great literature of all civilizations, religions, and societies that have endured, and show me anywhere where in the fundamental sense love is a feeling. It's Hollywood that teaches that. See, love is a value to be actualized. It is a verb. That's the essence of being proactive. It's taking responsibility. It's choosing one's own response. Love the feeling is the fruit of love the verb. Love is something you do, the sacrifices you make, the giving of self. Look at the love a mother feels for the new baby that she has just carried and delivered into the world. She produced the love she feels. She sacrificed. I said to him, start thinking selflessly. Give of yourself. Sacrifice for her. Serve her. Love the feeling comes in the very process of serving and sacrificing. Show love. Love first. Don't wait to be loved first. Be proactive. Love is a verb. Initially, he didn't like that because it was so much easier for him to just absolve himself of responsibility in the name of, well, I don't feel it. So remember, love is a verb first and foremost. Then it is a feeling. Forgiving is a verb. Forgetting is a verb. Seriously, I've seen so many relationships rebuilt. If only one of the parties would cultivate these proactive muscles. Admittedly, there's a price that has to be paid, and it takes patience. This doesn't happen overnight. So the first habit I suggest is that individuals, families, and organizations begin to get a sense of responsibility and the attitude that we have the power to choose our response in any circumstance, and the courage to take initiative to act upon our conscience. That, I suggest, is the very essence of proactivity.